is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to be here tonight.
Welcome to the show, Stuart Wild.
Thank you very much.
John Kehoe, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hey, how are you?
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. It's time for Enlightenment in the City with Eli Hoshotara on the News for the Soul Network. Eli is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. Eli tells it like it is. Welcome Eli Hoshotara back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. My name is Eli Hoshotara, and your host for this hour here on newsforthesoul.com. For those of you listening in, you want to call in, we have open lines today. If you want to find our phone number, you can go to newsforthesoul.com. It's also where you can submit your questions, and you can find our phone number there. Our phone number is also 1-646-595-4274. That is your international 1-646-595-4274, and we have open lines today. So let's talk a little bit about sorting people. Ooh, it's going to be like the magic hat of the Harry Potter. And we're going to sort you into the different houses. Except for houses, we're actually going to talk about how to decipher who's actually going to be good for you, who the people are that you need to let go, where, you know, it's like, of course you're upset and frustrated. That would make sense, my darlings. And where, you know, it's like, okay, they're not kind of doing it deliberately, or maybe not actually even doing it deliberately, but they're not going to be good to keep in your life anyways. And so we've got the four sorting hooks based on what I've just said. And of course, you know, this kind of depends on where everybody is. So if we say, for example, like somebody is good for you, that's going to be very different at the different levels. So at a highly functioning level where there's more thriving, people are happier, life is amazing, people tend to defend their serving healthy behaviors, and they'll work on or let the stuff go that doesn't work quite so much. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to be perfect, and they're going to have moments, too, where they're like, great, I'm eating a cookie, ha-ha, you know, fuck the world, I'm eating a cookie, dum-dum-dum, you know, and really, it's just a cookie. And if the worst thing you've ever done in your life is eaten a cookie, or in the last week, the worst thing you've ever done is eaten a cookie, I'm going to say you're going to be okay, pumpkin, you're just fine, okay? Like, let's be in reality about this. But when there's a lot of pain and suffering, though, people will tend to have a habit of letting go the healthy behaviors more so, and they'll tend to defend the unhealthy behaviors, and so much so that they'll actually make deals with each other about how they can keep their unhealthy behaviors. So, okay, we're going to be friends. I agree not to make you be healthy in this area, and you agree not to make me healthy in this area. You know, and it doesn't always feel like that, but sometimes, you know, you see this with alcohol, right? You can't hold it against me if I've been drinking. No matter what I do, I'm not responsible because I've been drinking. So drinking is the excuse that I get out of any repercussions or any sort of karma as far as you're concerned, okay? And they make sort of these agreements with each other. And the problem with that, and you can have somebody who's highly functioning and who's not making those agreements, but still has pain and suffering, because there's different reasons for pain and suffering. But when we're talking about, like, overall just, like, life sucks, when that sort of thing happens, you tend to have more of where people expect the serving unhealthy behaviors is sort of like you should always understand and you shouldn't hold them to the good, healthy serving behaviors. And they won't that because if people don't have enough of their stuff sorted out, it can actually be very painful to start putting in the healthy behaviors. People get scared of being attacked. People have great fears about being made wrong for stuff. You know, my philosophy on that always is, you know what, you're responsible for what you're responsible for. Whether you own it or deny it, it doesn't change anything. You're always responsible for what you're responsible for. And then, of course, you know, there's people who are just always looking to get out of everything and trying to screw people over because that's how they kind of get their jollies. You get this with people who are addicted to drama. You get this with people. And when I say that, I mean more along the lines of, I don't know how literally it is, but when you run certain pathways, there are side effects actually in the human being that will make it feel better for you to be running certain patterns. If you're used to running healthy serving patterns, it feels better to do that. If you're used to running negative patterns, it'll feel more good to do that, even though those same patterns will screw you over. We see this with junk food, right? Like, you know, eat a lot of chips, cakes, brownies, you're going to feel a little sick after. But, you know, damn, it feels so good when you think you're about to go into it. Like, the addiction speaks to you. Sugar. Oh, sugar says this is going to be a good day. You know, and then, of course, you eat it, you don't feel good. And if you're used to eating healthy, you're like, why did I do that? Or whatever your reaction is. So, but somebody who's, for example, used to eating a lot of junk food does not have enough experience that healthy food actually makes them feel better. Because you need to have a lot more of a healthier diet in order for that to happen. But people, you know, even people who eat a lot of junk food, for example, they'll eat the salad one day and they're like, wow, this is really refreshing. I feel great. And then they'll eat salad the second day and like, eh, you know, maybe it's still refreshing. But by the third day, it's like, this salad. And they don't get that sort of high off it. Whereas, excuse me, if you're eating very healthy for a few days in a row, of course, the more that you're eating healthy, even if you're like still salad by the third day, if you're eating like oranges or something else, it's really good for you. Maybe it's a nice, you know, pan of roasted veggies or something. There's something in it that's still going to feel better for you, even if it doesn't always look like salad. So when we get back to the four ideas of who, you know, who's going to be beneficial or screw you over. So at the highest levels, and this is something that everybody needs, but not everybody's going to be able to handle. And that sounds a little bit funny, but if we think of this in like in terms of healthy food, everybody needs it. It's what makes your body operate properly. It's so you have enough energy. It's so that you stop feeling pain physically. It can definitely help to reduce that. Some people are like, I eat healthy and I don't feel any pain reduction. If you're still putting dairy and eggs and wheat, that gluten in your diet and the sugar and the corn, you're still probably going to have pain. And this isn't true for everybody, but for people who feel like they're eating a healthy diet and they still have pain, those five foods can actually be reason why I actually have to be off them. I'm not going to say I'm perfect at it because I'm not. But I am one of those people where if I eat too much, like I haven't had corn in months and I haven't had it actually in years, but I did have it. I had a taco with a hard shell. Ooh. But I have to be careful with it because, of course, like, my body hurts after. So, you know, these things do need to be taken into consideration. But healthy, you know, because everybody needs them, when they don't have enough of anything in any area, there will be more pain and suffering. And, you know, let's take food, for example. Again, sometimes, especially if you have young people, right? Like a lot of young people are really addicted to junk food. And why are they so addicted to junk food? Number one, you got the sugar off the energy, which matches our bouncy, bouncy, bouncy energy levels. But also, you know, it tastes good because it's a pure, quick form of energy. So you're supposed to like those things. Thankfully, as you get older, your taste buds can, depending on who you are, where you're into healthy eating, can start to go, ooh, I can't eat a plate of rice for dinner anymore, or a plate of fried rice. That does not make a good dinner anymore. Whereas if you're in your 20s, it's like, plate of fried rice, yummy, you know, unless you're keto or very, you know, need to be more meat oriented. But when we're talking about somebody who's eating a lot of junk food, even if they don't the healthy, even if they don't quite notice that it's taking a toll on them, it does actually take a toll. It just takes a toll when people don't understand it. And they may not correlate enough the healthy food with their weight or their healthy food with why they're cranky or the healthy food and the lack of it, rather, with why they're cranky, the healthy food and the lack of it with why, you know, everybody sucks, everybody should just die, you know, that sort of like teenager melancholy and we talk about it being hormones, and hormones could definitely be a contributor, but also so can the junk food. You know, and, you know, generally speaking, people know to a very large degree that if you take a spoonful of chemicals and you're sprinkling it over your morning cereal, we understand generally that that's going to be a bad idea. But when those exact same chemicals come in your food and people are saying that's food safe for you, a lot of people don't think twice about eating the same food, that if they were to take those exact same chemical additives and sprinkle it over their food after, they wouldn't want to do it because they instinctively understand it's bad for them. And so healthy food helps with mood improvement, and healthy food helps with crankiness. It helps with being in a bad mood. People think it's about weight, or, you know, young people, oh my God, it's like how good looking you are. And attractiveness, physical attractiveness is a factor. Let's be real about that. It is a factor. But you can take somebody who is, you know, say a 5 out of 10, and they're going to be, the way that the health perks up the body, they're going to look more like a 7 if they're eating a lot of healthy foods, and they're going to look more like a 3 or a 2 or a 1 if they're eating a lot of junk food, because of the way that it shows up in the energy, but also the way that it takes a toll on the body long term. So things like cellulite come from a lot of junk food. alcohol, you know, all those sorts of things, being moody. So if you have somebody who is, you know, having a lot of cellulite and they're moody, you know, that's just two things. I mean, come on. But you compare that to somebody who's not moody, who's nice, and doesn't have the cellulite and has got, you know, a lower amount of weight versus more of an amount of weight, you know, you're going to have, just based on three things, you're going to have two people who are going to look radically different in terms of the, you know, what the body looks like, the appeal, because your mood affects your posture and things like that as well. It also affects a lot of other things. You know, when people are chronically scowly, it gives off a negative energy, and that can actually affect how people look. And I know that sounds a little bit strange to think about that, but when you see somebody creepy, for example, somebody you know you should stay away from, one of the factors you can pick up on is energy. Sometimes, like when people are really dark, you can just feel the energy off them. they don't even have to say anything. You just like, ooh, you're going to stay away from that. But also, it affects how people are going to react to things. It affects what's going on in their mind. So if you've got somebody who's genuinely happy and they're genuinely smiling, they're going to actually physically look better than somebody who's cranky and pissed off all the time, right? You know, so, and, you know, and somebody who's, you know, happy and has like healthy amounts of self-power, and it notices that healthy amounts of self-power, the way they carry themselves is going to be very different than somebody who's slumped down. That can affect posture. Posture can affect whether, you know, you've got a flatter tummy or a more bulging tummy. For people who, you know, they're very thin, but they still have a belly, I was one of those people, things like hot yoga can actually affect the posture. So it can actually take a, you know, a bigger tummy and take away the smaller tummy. Now, I'm not going to say it works with every yoga. That has not been my experience, but hot yoga, absolutely. The different, whatever they're doing in there that's different, for me, really pulled in my tummy. And when I say my tummy, I was super skinny. I was like model skinny. Well, not quite model skinny, but I was skinny. And but healthy, thin. but I would still have a tummy, and the because of my posture. And the hot yoga actually helped clear that up, darnest thing. So, you know, all these things sort of like affect how you're going to be perceived in the world, but they also affect how people are going to be nice to you. And they also affect how much you're going to be able to be nice to them, or whether you're going to be more easily triggered. And, you know, so anything that we're living healthy and more serving for every area of life, the more that we have those things in place, the better we're going to do, the more people are going to like you. And when you get people who are really superpowered with that, people think it's just business or it's just looks. No, because there's a lot of good-looking people that once you kiss them, you're like, meh. Why? Because as soon as you kiss them, you tap into the energy. So it's not it kind of is about looks, but looks are affected by different factors that people tend to not understand. so healthy people are the ones that you're going to want to keep in your life. And whatever level somebody is at, in terms of health, you want to keep the people that are at least at the same healthy, emotionally healthy level as you and are emotionally healthy in different areas of life, even if they're different areas than what you've got, you want to try to keep people who are at least at the same level or better. And sometimes they're going to be people that, you know, they're not going to be where you are, but you love them, such as relatives, that you're still going to choose to keep. And there's going to be a little of a leeway there. Now, and it doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to go out, you're going to be rude to strangers, because that's not going to be nice. But you're going to have to start to differentiate. Like, the lower that we go down below where you are, you need to start to differentiate who's going to be serving enough for you to be involved with it versus who you're going to have to just get involved. Like, absolutely, you're just not going to be able to deal with them. So most strangers, unless you're really getting, like, really negative vibes off them, it's not going to really hurt you to get to interact with strangers, okay? So if you're dealing with a stranger, stranger's like, hi, you know, you're walking by, you look strong, I'm having trouble getting this box in here, would you mind giving me a hand really quickly, you know? And you're like, okay, sure, you know, you help the person load the box into the back of their truck or whatever. It's, you know, it's not a big deal, okay? Now, so there's helping in that format where you've got a stranger versus there's some times where some people are going to need more help, and sometimes you're going to be able to help them. Sometimes you can even be friends with them, which is taking things a little bit deeper. But then there's a huge difference between helping a stranger who's really not capable versus taking that person on as a friend who's not very capable enough versus taking them on in your personal life when they're not really going to be beneficial for you to be involved with. And these distinctions are really important because the more involved they are in your life, the more of a toll it's going to take on your life. So you can be friends with somebody who's not perfect, but sometimes some of those same behavioral patterns, you're not going to take them on as a romantic partner because of the way that it's going to mess up your life. For example, you know, say somebody's got really, you know, nasty parents and they're your friend and you love them and, you know, and that's fine. But if you're looking to have children with somebody, because of the involvement that somebody is going to be having in their life, if they're your in-laws, especially if you've got children, you do have to take into account that your kids are going to have grandparents that are going to be miserable, you know, lashing out, possibly possibly abusive. And some people, when they're in those positions, when they have grandkids, they really go wild and crazy. Like, absolutely, you know, they get controlling. They're going to save the day. You know, how dare you do anything less than perfect? Because when people are in a lot of pain and suffering, they tend to act out and react a lot, and they tend to get out of balance about what they think is going to be appropriate. So, you know, a friend where it's like, you know, you're never really going to see the parents, you know, not a big deal if they've got parents that aren't nice, but it becomes a bigger deal if you're romantically involved. So, you know, these different levels are something to consider, too, if you, like, see somebody who is really, really just, you know, inept, maybe, you know, like, ooh, you're going to really need to stay away from that person. You would not be friends with them. But if they're a stranger and they're like, they need directions and they come up to you on the street, provided, you know, it's not the middle of the night and you're a single female walking down the street alone, you know, generally speaking, if it's daytime, you know, you're in a crowded intersect, like, corner or something like that, you're looking to cross the street, they ask for directions. You know, it's not really a big deal to, unless it's somebody you really need to stay away from, it's not a big deal to give them directions, or even maybe, you know, you're in a doctor's office or something, somebody's, you know, really not capable of helping themselves. I took my son into emergency, like, probably like 17 years ago now, and we're in there, and this lady came in, and she had obvious problems. Part of her hair was missing. You know, she was like swinging off her IV pole, and she happened to wander into the room. She was wandering through the emergency ward and came in, and she wanted to watch my son because she liked to watch children play. And of course, my inner mommy's going, "What?" You know, and I'm like, "Ooh, this girl's gonna go." But, you know, like, I just kind of, like, checked into it. It's like, okay, she's not a threat. She just has obvious problems. I'm there. You know, children can be very healing for people. Doesn't mean I would let her babysit, no. But you know, in that moment, it's like, you know, she looked like she was about to fall over. You know, I grabbed her, sat her in a chair, you know, even though I was there to help my son for health issues, she obviously needed help. She obviously needed somebody to talk to. was really obviously having a hard time at it. So, you know, it's like I unwound her from her IV line, you know, sat her in the chair and just keeping an eye on my son, but, you know, keeping an eye on her as well until the doctor came in and removed her. And, you know, that's, you know, as a stranger, that's, you know, fine. But, or if you've got a loved one, absolutely, you know, that's going to be fine. But there's a difference between, you know, that and taking somebody who is really screwing over your life, because they're always reactive. You know, they're always like saying you want a business, they're always crashing your business, you know, those sorts of things are really causing you a lot of problems because they don't know or they don't understand. That's not going to be as beneficial for you to have a friendship with. And even though you may still be willing to serve somebody in that position, and I would, but it doesn't mean that you're going to let them crash your business. And if they can't understand that, sometimes, you know, whatever friendship there is, you kind of have to say no to if they can't understand or respect the boundary and they're causing a lot of problems. Say, you know, they're coming in and they're always like, you know, hitting on all your clients or whatever it is. You know, deciding that they need a knife because they want to cut their apple, and then all of a sudden they start, you know, rifling through your files, and it's like, no, those are confident patient files, you know, you can't do that. And they're sort of like rifling through it or whatever, you know. There are people that you're going to have to just really say no to because of the danger or sort of like the complication levels that they're going to be doing. And then below that, you've got people who are doing those sorts of things deliberately. They're always looking for an excuse to be abusive. you know, they're always taking things out on you. And they may not be abusive to the point of, like, you know, punching in the head three times a week. But generally speaking, you're going to be better off without them because they're doing things deliberately. And then the fourth category, of course, would be more that, you know, people are just, like, emanating darkness or emanating evil, and you've got to be really careful with that sort of thing. And so, you know, when we're dealing it with people and we're looking at interactions, when we understand these different levels, it becomes a lot easier to say, like, okay, this is who I want to, you know, have in my life now. Oh, wait, there's a fifth level. And that level would actually be where you want to aspire to, like where you want to go next in terms of your emotional health, functionality, business, exercise, nutrition, all those sorts of things. So those people are really good for to go for. The people that are at your level, you can serve at lower levels than you do, than where you are. I definitely do that. And people who are very advanced do that as well. I really want to be clear about that. But the difference is when we're looking at the different levels is how can we be involved? To what degree? To what degree can we do it safely? To what degree can we do it where they're still taking responsibility for their lives? And at what degree are people just looking to really always take it out on other people? They're always looking for a free ride. They're always looking to scam you. You know, and the more that you go down, that becomes, you know, important to know. And the reason that we want to make these distinctions is because, like, there are people who, you know, they're not going to hurt you. Genuinely, when I say that, I mean that genuinely, but it's just kind of like neutral and there's no point to having them in your life. But that's going to be different than someone who's not intentionally trying to hurt you, but they're just not going to be at a level that's going to be beneficial for you to be involved with much. And when we start to understand the different levels and we start to understand that and apply it, it becomes a lot easier to sort of like understand and not be mad at people, because when you understand that and when you truly get it, it becomes a lot easier to just walk away from people when they're pulling stuff, because if you understand that they're truly being abusive or that they're really just looking to take shit out on you, it becomes a lot easier to say no to it. Like, you know, you're eating a mango or you're eating a piece of celery, whatever it is, and somebody's like, it comes up and they're like, ew, they're going to dig their energetic claws into you, you know, and they're like, yee, look at you eating that, you must think you're so fancy, you know, and that would be like where people are trying to drag negative energy through your energy. And for anybody who's going, ooh, I was not putting out the amount of hatred into that that a lot of people are doing. So, like, when you're sitting there going, like, eh, that doesn't sound good. when people are doing that to you, absolutely, you've got a right to say no, because they're looking for an excuse to drag through the energy. And, you know, there's in self-development and spirituality, there's this idea that you can't say no. It's bad if you say no. And no, because no sometimes is just a teaching lesson. When people are dragging their daggers through your energy, no is just a, it's just a teaching. That's all it is. And it's a teaching without being a teaching. And by that, I mean you're not getting in their face like, no, I'm the teacher. I will teach you. You know, because everybody's had that experience where somebody's like, they're going to learn you, whether they know what they're doing or not. or whether, you know, the other person gets a lesson or not. So it's not about, like, teaching them as in you're going to fix them. A lot of people are repellent towards that. Anyways, additionally, it kind of gets you more ground into the energy. But simply saying no is, like, it just doesn't work here. And whether they understand that and they're willing to get the lesson for it or not is really up to them. But it means that you're just, you know, not having daggers dragged through your energy for no good reason. And then there are people where, you know, you're just going to say no, not because they're bad, not because they're mean, but just because it's just not a right fit, or they've got more work to do, or it's just not going to be the most serving interaction, you know, maybe. And this can be for both of you. Sometimes people take that personally and they're like, how dare they? What do you mean? It's not, I'm not going to be serving for them. You know, and they get really mad about that. But, you know, this happens even, you know, when people say that, sometimes people mean it because the other person's dark, or they're trying to say that the other person's dark, and that is one facet of it for sure. But that also happens where somebody's just, you know, simply wanting to move to a different country and you don't want to move there. It doesn't make sense for you to be romantically involved with them. But if people don't understand that, they'll tend to push to try to get involved, even though it's not really going to have a good outcome because they don't understand that yet, or because their need for a relationship sort of overrides the fact that it's not going to be good for them to be involved. And that can happen on bigger things like, you know, being romantically involved with somebody who wants to live in a different country than you and they're not being honest about it. But it can also happen in smaller points as well where, you know, they really don't have the personality type for the job. They're not going to be happy there. They'd be really happier going to a different department. But if they don't understand that and you say no, and they're not going to listen to anything else, and people really, you know, just try to shred you over that, and that becomes sort of non-beneficial. But when we understand, you know, the different levels and the different interactions within them, it becomes a lot easier to just have peace in your heart and to be able to say yes to certain situations and no to other situations without feeling guilty, without, you know, going into being guilt-tripped by somebody else who doesn't understand, without, you know, going into feeling bad because you've been abused, because you're supposed to take abuse, you know, because otherwise they're going to have to date somebody who wants to live in the same country that they do, you know, all those sorts of things. So it really helps everybody when we say no to things that aren't serving, but not everybody understands that. So we're going to do the mailbag here. And again, the lines are open today. We've got Tanya in Boston, and she says, do you see me being successful losing the extra weight? Oh, and I'm seeing hope there. So Tanya in Boston, one moment here. Okay, so Tanya, I'm not going to give you a direct answer on this because here's the thing. I see the hope in there, and I love the hope. It's really pretty. I really want to be clear about that. It's like, oh, look at that. It's like flowers and sunshine. When you ask questions like that, though, here's the thing, and here's why I don't like to say yes or no to certain things. Because if somebody tells you a no, for example, based on the way that you're asking the question, you got to be careful about this one, hon. If somebody says no, you're going to tank yourself down, or a lot of people like sort of like get stuck in that, and they think it's not going to work, and they will not lose weight even though they could. So because it really gets stuck in the brain. And as somebody who likes direct answers, that one used to really bug the fuck out of me when I couldn't get a straight answer out of somebody. Oh, and I still prefer people who talk straight. I really want to be clear about that. But in certain cases, when you're asking that question in that way, you can actually end up messing yourself over. Because if somebody says no to you when it is possible for you to lose weight, and it is possible, I really want to be clear about that, but you're going to have to take different ways of doing it than you. So you do need additional help. I really want to be clear. So, and with the additional help in different areas, yes, absolutely, you can do it. You just have to put that in. So let's see here. What's going to help that? Okay, so number one, Dr. Terry Walls, that's TerryWahls, and she's got a book on MS. She got herself out of a wheelchair with MS. She actually uses, as part of her protocol, eating 9 cups of fruits and vegetables a day. Now, for anybody who's a big eater, that's great, because then you're going to have a higher success rate of being able to do it. Here's one of the problems of Dr. Walls' protocol. You're ready? You have to eat a lot of food, and some people have complained about losing too much weight. So, and it also heals a lot of health issues. So with that, I really want to be clear, Tanya. I see you shrinking down to mini-me. I really want to be clear about this. I see you going like shrink, 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 tiny, tiny, tiny. And so even though, you know, I really want to be clear, like, why am I recommending this for that? What Dr. Terry Walls has stumbled upon and what a lot of other doctors actually know is you have to eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. And they discovered this with identical twins. You can have one who's has a lot more extra weight than another one, and one will have, the one who's thinner will have more healthy bacteria in their body, and you get that from your fruits and vegetables. Most a lot of doctors, when like Dr. Walls, for example, she's like, how many of you eat this many cups? I think it was her. Sorry, one doctor I remember giving a talk was saying, like, how many of you eat 6 cups of fruits and vegetables a day? And a lot of doctors' hands shot up. Why did they go up? Because they understand the need for your fruits and vegetables coming through natural sources, which Dr. Walls does. She does have supplementation. I really want to be clear about that. But it really supercharges your body. And I really want to be clear, and thankfully, you know, have never had the problem that Dr. Walls has had. But when I was trying to recover from an accident, I actually used her protocol to really supercharge my body. And her protocol got me through a really rough spot. And the reason that I actually got onto her was because another doctor that I was talking to had suggested that I may actually want to look at the mitochondria as the fuel of the cells. And that's really big with some people. That mitochondria is really, really huge for some people. And I'm a huge fan of your mitochondria too. And Dr. Walls deals with mitochondria. She was the first person that I had come across who really dealt with that. And her protocol really gives you a lot of energy. It helps you to lose weight. She is like, you know, you can do the eggs or not. A lot of other people that I've met have suggested that, or have followed, sorry, their work of, have suggested that you take eggs out of the diet. I need to take eggs out of the diet, so I'm a full proponent of that, taking the eggs out of the diet. But it can really help with, like, you know, pain. Again, depending on what kind of pain there is, it can actually help to reduce pain by following her diet. And it's not a starve yourself diet, because starve yourself on 9 cups of fruits and veggies a day. But I see you being like super, super skinny by doing that. You know, and again, it was like how she got herself out of a chair for wheelchair with MS. For some people, they're like, why would you want to do that if you don't have MS? Because it's a way to really supercharge your health. Now, you know, you got to check with your doctor about this. I'm not, you know, some doctors can be like, what? Why would you do that? You don't need that. But you know what? It's really jam-packing your health. And, you know, she's really clear about that. You know, I mean, she got out of a wheelchair, I think, in 3 months onto a cane. So, you know, we're really talking about somebody who understands health. And a lot of functional medicine doctors are really on that 6 cups of fruits and veggies a day. Like, they're really hardcore on it. And it's a lot of food to eat. but it really does help. And, Tanya, I could see you having great success with that. Again, because of, you know, your interpretation of it or whatever, I do need you to talk to, you know, run it by your doctor. You know, and I do take the risk of your doctor's going to be like, you really don't need to do that. But it's just what I see for you. I love the protocol personally. I do not follow it at this time because 9 cups of fruits and vegetables is fucking hard to eat. But the closer that I get to it, and there's still some of her principles that I definitely do live and have in my, you know, my life daily. And so really, really great. And I totally, totally recommend her for anybody, especially if they have, you know, anything chronic, really, really good starting point. Absolutely. So thanks for writing in. And we have Suzanne in Toronto. She wants a general reading. So one moment here, Suzanne in Toronto. Okay, so Suzanne, you are being called to engage with your inner warrior princess. Yep, that's what it is. Because I see you getting chased by a lot of things, and they're taking you out, and they're like sort of like attacking. And then I'm seeing you sort of like, you know, and it's like the mood is coming because like, oof. And you know what, sweetheart, like quite frankly, I totally understand because that's a lot of stuff that you're going through, and there's a lot of energies that are coming through. You are being called right now to go, face your stuff and do it sort of like warrior princess style and go in and attack it because, sweetie, you don't need to put up with that and it should not be affecting your mood to the degree that it is and it is. And if you don't think it is, sweetheart, it's doing you wrong a lot more than you think it is. Then that's all that I have to say on that. really, you know, they're asking to like literally sort of, and you got to be careful with the attitude about it as well. You know, for you, boundaries are very good. And you can be actually very soft and gentle about your boundaries, and it's very sweet. And I really want to be clear, those are still boundaries. You know, sometimes people don't like boundaries because they think they got to be mean about them. A boundary is only mean if you're implementing it mean. So there's a big difference between, hey, you know, you promised to take your stuff out of my garage 3 months ago. I was willing to hold it for you. It's been a year. or, you know, you said that would hold, or sorry. You know, they said basically that they wanted to store their stuff in your garage for 3 months, and it's been a year. There's a big difference between, you know, calling somebody off the phone saying, you fucker, get over here now. Otherwise, I'm giving all your stuff away or I'm going to throw it in the trash. There's a huge difference between that and say, hi, you know what? It's been a year. I've had your stuff. I'd really appreciate it if you came and picked it up now. And you are even sweeter than that. So you can absolutely implement your boundaries. You are an absolute sweetheart when you are implementing boundaries. I wish I could implement boundaries that nice because you're just so sweet when you do it. I think everybody should be as much of a sweetheart as you are about implementing boundaries. And, you know, when you do that, you're going to have a chance to step and make a lot more breakthroughs than you think that you can. And that's going to be really, really important for you. There will be some things that you need to take on a little bit more. But, you know, and some things are going to be a little more warrior princessy. Some things are just going to be sweet and light. But it's a very, very good time period for you to be doing all that. And if it seems like you're like, oof, I don't want to do that, I want you to take a look at how much of your personality that you have lost, how much of your personality, all those positive, lovely traits you have within that you didn't develop as much as you could have if you had boundaries. Where you gave things away because you didn't have boundaries. And I want you to look at your life now. I want you to look at, if you go back in your life, I want you to look at every place that you, if you had implemented those boundaries appropriately, what your life would look like now. And then I'm hoping that's going to be enough to get you to say, you know what, it's going to be worth it to go do this because you have on the horizon some major, major, major changes that you can be making in your life. And you can get back that absolute sweetheart that is like absolutely there and within you and living well. And you can actually teach other people. If you wanted to give a masterclass on like, you know, how to handle people sweetly and kindly without being fake, but just actually genuinely being a nice person, you are actually a person who has that capability to start being able to teach that class. So, you know, or at least get a little bit closer to teaching that class. So something to consider. So thank you for reading in. Let's see here. So if Sheila in Vancouver, and she's been offered a work-at-home opportunity, does it feel legit? So one moment here, Sheila in Vancouver. So Sheila, you know, it's like if I actually had to separate whether it was you or whether it was the opportunity, because I tell you, I got like just bammed with like, ooh, and Sheila is not you, which you already knew. But I don't know that, right? Because it's like all I see is like I go reading in and all of a sudden, bam, I get hit with a bunch of bad energy, like so much. And it's the opportunity. It stinks, sweetheart. Like it is not going to be good for you. And whether it's legit or not, I don't know. Whenever I get that amount of stink on a reading. I don't go into the readings. I'm sorry. I don't do them any further because the energy is so detrimental. I've actually had to, you know, do a heck of a lot of clearing over things like that. So I'm sorry, but I don't do those sorts of things anymore just because of the way that it affects things. But I will tell you that in my experience, whenever you get something that stinks like that, that is that energetically off, that is one of the biggest warning signs that you could possibly get. Like huge, 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 huge. And just like, I don't want that fucking with my energy. I really want to be clear. You're going to probably want to stay away from having that fuck with your energy as well, because things can be, you know, whether it's the people involved, whether it's, you know, what you're being set up to do, anything that's like that is going to take such a toll on your life. It's sort of like taking the creepiest person in the room and deciding that you're going to marry him. Really, you know, and maybe not quite as impactful, but pretty darn impactful. You're going to want to say no. And I'm not saying that as doing a reading, just personal opinion on that. So you do what you like with it. But whenever I get anything that's a little bit sort of like along those lines, it's like, that's going to be a good thing to stay away from. And it's sort of like taking, it would be like, you know, if you gave somebody a small vial of like, you know, green slime, if you've ever watched those like children's TV shows and they goop people, they slime people, imagine a tiny little like science vial, be careful of that, and going like, oh, you smell it and it smells like rotten eggs. You're like, no, that opportunity would smell like a giant beaker that would be like so big you could actually climb into the beaker. It smells that much. Like, that's how horrible it is. So, you know, totally up to you, but I would really suggest you're really going to want to stay away from that. So hope that helped. Deandra in Ontario, and she's like reading about her current beau. See, Mr. Right or Mr. Right Now. And she wants to know, she's wasting her time. So one moment here, Deandra in Ontario. Okay, so Deandra, I can understand why you're confused. Looks pretty darn good. Like, pretty darn good. That being said, you both have stuff to work through. And so, for instance, two people have a lot of stuff to work through. It is very, very hard to get either of them to, oh, hold on. Okay. They're saying it's a go. One moment here. Yeah, it's a go. Okay. sorry about all that. So it was a little bit confusing because I'm like, well, I see this and I see this. And sometimes that can be a little bit, you know, when you see two people that have a lot of stuff to work out, sometimes it can be like, it can be hard to get two people matched up when they both have so much stuff to work out. But they're actually saying, nope, it's a go, and you actually will be able to grow with each other. So you actually do have the capability of having a pretty, you know, a really, really, like, good relationship with that person. So, you know, it's sort of like, nope, that's it. Yep, that's it. It's a go. They're telling you, go for it. So thank you for writing in. And we have, let's see here. So Caroline in Australia, and she's feeling a lot of high energy vibes lately. That is going around, Caroline. Congratulations. Glad you got the wave. And she's not sure what to do with it all. Can I tell her anything about her life purpose? So one moment here, Caroline in Australia. Oh, wow. That's really beautiful, Caroline. So embrace it. I'm saying that you're actually feeling a little bit overwhelmed with it. And, you know, if you're wanting to take things on as a teaching, when you're getting those high vibrations like that, that is the point where when they're happening, you actually want to open and you actually want to allow yourself to be taught You want to allow yourself to, as they say, sit in the process, you know, trust the process. And sometimes people think that about like the negative things, you know, like not getting results in them, or they can't see that they're getting results. People like, trust the process. You're like, I don't know if anything is happening. In this particular moment, though, when you're getting that like high vibration sort of thing, sitting in the process, my interpretation for that means that you're just allowing yourself to sit in the energy, and it, you can learn a lot from it. It can heal things in terms of like it can help to heal your mood. It can help you to try to come up to match the vibration sometimes, and you'll come up across the things that you need to heal, and they call that sitting in your stuff. The stuff you didn't know you needed to heal, and you're kind of sitting in it. Maybe you're sitting in your crunchy bits. That is like sitting in your stuff. And it can actually be very, very wonderful for teaching you. It is one of the best teachers I've ever found. So when those opportunities come, allow yourself to have it. Allow yourself to engage with it. Allow yourself to have that experience. Allow yourself to have that teaching, because it is one of the best teaching resources that you're going to have. It is absolutely, absolutely beautiful. And regarding a life purpose, right now it's actually just to sit in there. I could sort of take you out of it and see what it is, but they're really not wanting me to do that. They're really wanting to make sure that you stay in those high energy vibes, and they're really wanting you to process that right now. So things can, you know, shift for you. You can come into more of your own. In my experience, you usually get answers out of going into that, but what you need to do. So it's, you know, it's, it can be a very cool sort of like womb-like, high vibrational womb experience where you're learning, you're shifting, and just allowing that to change it. And they don't want me to take you out of that at all, even to do a reading to see what else is in there. So the call for you to stay in there is really, really high, and it's beautiful and very, very strong. So really congratulations. I mean, to a very, very extraordinarily high degree, congratulations and good luck with that. And yeah, just sit in there and allow it to teach you. It's absolutely beautiful. We have Anne in New York, and she wants to know if she can get a general reading on what's in store for her this year. Okay, so one moment here. Anne in New York. One moment here. A lot of growth work, Anne. A lot of people are having that this year. I'm seeing you basically with a flower lay on your head. And sort of doing the, you know, the like the cool goddess poses and those sorts of things. Usually, and here's the fun thing, and usually when I see people get that large, to a very large degree, I see people who grow like that and then they just sort of like fall over. Very rarely do I see somebody who's going to be able to handle it and sit in it. And I see that with you. So you've got your eyes closed. You're in this like goddess position. You know, this goddess pose, you know, your eyes are closed, you're very glowy, you're very happy, you got the lay on your head. And it's a really sort of embodying depth kind of reading, like that is the year for you. Let's see here. Hold on. Okay, so Anne, because of it, I'm actually not wanting to poke and prod into it. I actually want to leave the energy as it is, just like I did for Caroline in the previous reading. Sometimes you want to just allow when you're having that, when you're having that sort of like beauty come in, you actually just want to allow people to have that experience. And not poke and prod, because you don't want to interfere with what with spirit work. And that's what I'm seeing for you. I'm not going to interfere in that right now. And so, you know, at a future point in time when you want a different reading, absolutely. But as far as this one goes, we're just going to leave it. I'm just going to say again, congratulations to a very, very, very high degree. I think it's absolutely wonderful. So thank you for writing in. So we are 4 minutes to the top of the hour here, and we have got the lines are jam-packed all of a sudden. Thank you so much, everybody. I really appreciate you calling in. I'll be back here Thursday, 3 p.m. PST next week, or you can go to newsforthesoul.com. You can find my information. That's El Hoshi Yam Tara. You can book a session there. You can also go to my website and go to www.enlightenmentinthecity.com, and you can book a reading or a coaching session there. I'm sorry, but because I need to sign off in 4 minutes here, I'm not going to be able to get to callers today, unfortunately. But thank you so much, everybody. And please call back in another time. We start at 3 p.m. PST. We'd love to hear from you then. And we're just going to do a really quick one here. We've got Stanley in the U.K. Is there any chance of him manifesting a new relationship this year? He's been husband for a couple of years and wanting to reconnect more with the world. And because this is going to be really quick, we're just going to do this one, not to ignore the people on the line. I really appreciate you calling in. But I can do the reading here for Stanley really quick. So Stanley in the U.K. So Stanley, like many people, you are being called to do your growth work this year. And it is a very, very large theme for a lot of people. In terms of the new relationship, I do see one, but because you still have your stuff to work on, that is actually getting in the way. So while she's very pretty, it's not going to work very well because you've got the stuff that you're being asked to tackle. And let's see here. She's kind of like a future promise. Some people, it's like when they're in a relationship, they don't do the other work. And some people, relationships and all these sorts of good things that come out, some people actually have it in their life path and their destiny that they actually have to get their work done to get what they want. And it's sort of like the universe is like dangling a carrot in front of you saying, if you do this, like what's in store for you? So she's there. But it's not going to work until you do the work. And she's a really lovely lady. She's very elegant, very classy. So definitely she's worth doing the work for. Sometimes when people have this stuff, they're like, I shouldn't have to work. They should just come in anyways. But it actually, because she's more next level, it actually wouldn't be the best for her currently. And it wouldn't be the best for you to stay where you are currently anyways, because they're basically saying that it is your time period to grow. So she's kind of like your carrot at the end. So good luck with that. I wish I had better news, but you know what? It's just the way it goes. Everybody's being asked to, you know, go for growth right now. But some people just, that stuff of like not getting what they want is really coming into play. So again, my name is El Hoshi Amtara. You can find me here on newsforthesoul.com every week, 3 p.m. PST. New York and Chicago, that's your rush hour. You can also find me at my website, that's www.enlightenmentinthecity.com. So thank you, everybody, so much. I love you. Take care of yourselves. Remember, this is a time of really strong growth work for like pretty much everybody, but those who heed the call and do it, and you come for the coaching to help do it, you're really going to see some amazing results right now. So thank you so much, everybody, for calling in. Hope to talk to you next week. Please call in again. I love you. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.